Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Massive Breakdown Podcast, episode 204. We have a fantastic episode for you this morning. We're coming to you actually on a Monday morning. Had to delay the podcast a little bit this week. I had a small cat accident, which required a substantial amount of vet time that unfortunately cut into our normal recording time and then our backup recording time. So we have pushed this one out pretty far. We're actually recording this in the middle of a work day, which is always a little bit hazardous. But we are going to be basically talking about the stasis nerfs. They are live in the Crucible. We also have a fantastic little bit of information. They changed the matchmaking. Sorry, they changed the lobby balancing in Iron Banner, eventually shifted it down to just Freelance. I've played about 30 games of Freelance, so I'm going to talk about that for just a little bit. And then we're also going to be breaking down the Crucible post-game drop weapons, Frozen Orbit, the Aggressive Sniper, and the Keening, the Sidearm. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined this morning by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing on Monday morning, Kit?
You know, I'm doing pretty well, all things considered. I had a very adventurous weekend, so I am still pretty beat from that. I did a 12-hour adventure race. I ended up covering over 50 miles biking, hiking, and canoeing on Saturday. So Sunday, I basically just laid on the couch and ate, and watched Sister Act 2. So it was a good time.
Yeah, I mean, spending a Sunday just relaxing on the couch is totally understandable following a Saturday like that. So,
but yeah, I'm feeling relatively speaking recovered today, and ready to get back into some Destiny.
Yeah, I've been playing, because it's Iron Banner week, and Iron Banner has become my favorite PvP activity recently. I've been playing a decent amount, except for yesterday, which I wanted to play, but instead I was tasked by my fiance to build the end table, or the corner table, to match the coffee table I built a couple months ago. So it's been most of the day gathering parts and hardware and everything and building that table out, and it's pretty much done. Just got to stain it now, which will be good because we have our family coming over for Easter this weekend, so we're kind of trying to get the house like finally in shape after all this time.
That's the curse of success. You do one thing well, you're expected to do it again.
I know. It's like building the coffee table was one thing, then building a desk, then building at a corner table, and I put my foot down for the dining room table and chairs, and I was like, I am absolutely not building that. Let's just buy it. So it's actually supposed to be delivered a little bit later today, so we'll keep our fingers crossed that it shows up in one piece.
Very nice.
Actually, I'm sure it will show up in many pieces, and I'll have to basically build it anyways, because I doubt they ship coffee tables in a fully assembled, but...
Yeah. No, you'll be building that for sure.
Yeah, not looking forward to it. Eight chairs. Really not looking forward to building all eight chairs. But anyways, nobody wants to hear about our furniture life, so we're going to talk about some Destiny. But we do have some housekeeping to get out of the way. I believe we have a couple of new patrons to thank this week.
Yeah, so let's open up with big shout-outs to Shazzle and ZenSoCal for their ongoing sponsorship of the podcast. Very much appreciate that support. Very much appreciate all of our ongoing patrons for your continued generosity, even when we occasionally are very, very late getting the episode out. And a special thank you to two new patrons, Emmerich, joining us on the 22nd, and Big Daddy Ding Dong joining us on the 25th. Thank you so much. Hope we see you both saying hi in the Patrons Lounge and Discord very soon. And that, I think, is all we've got going on.
Fantastic names for the patrons this month. But yeah, thank you guys. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you guys for supporting us. Like Kutch said, hope to see you in the Discord soon. We don't have any podcast reviews for this episode, so we can hop right over that. Remember, if you guys would like to have your review read out, just leave us a review on Apple Podcast, and we will read it out and say thank you. It doesn't have to be 5 stars, but we do appreciate the 5-star reviews. Yeah, so first things first, the stasis nerfs did in fact go live, and it could just be me, but I think they were pretty darn effective, with maybe the exception of, I think, the tracking on the Warlock Super is pretty freaking ridiculous right now, to the point where, like, I'm being killed by the Super around corners, which is a little bit frustrating, or frozen by the Super around corners, which is a little bit frustrating, but besides that, they took Behemoth down a number of notches. The Super is still... Don't get me wrong, probably one of the best supers in the game. But it is not an invincible Mario star wielding. You literally can't kill it at all. It is possible to team shot him down, which is really nice. I've actually killed a few of them, and boy, it feels good. And then the Revenant, the double Shuriken, the quick freezing ability, they still have a lot of ways to slow, but those slows don't turn into freeze quite so easily. And most important to me, the Duskfield grenades got a lot of their suck removed, and I am oh so happy with that. I mean, really, I'm feeling like they did a pretty fantastic job on this balance patch.
Yeah, I have to agree. All around, I think this was much more success than failure. And while I know some people feel that they may not have gone far enough, I think that I much prefer Bungie going not far enough than Bungie going too far. And what we always had in the past with this type of balance patch was Bungie going too far. And that was just like, I mean, it was just a thing. It was just like, it comes out, it's really good, and then they nerf it, and it's just really awful. And that was just the way it was for years and years. And they've, I think, started to establish a new pattern where they take things down in notches. And I very much prefer that. I would rather see these subclasses be brought down over a period of time, and possibly, hopefully, the light subclasses brought up over a similar period of time to where they can meet at some kind of happy medium, then see these classes just nerfed into the dirt, and, you know, then they maybe have to go back later and fix it. It's like, you know, it just makes more work, right?
Yeah.
It makes the experience negative during that more work period, and I think it's much better if we can continue to enjoy using them, but maybe they're not quite so broken now. I know slow is still, I still think slow is possibly too strong. I mean, it just does too many different things. But all things told, that's, you know, that's like finding, what's the opposite of a silver lining? I don't know what I would go. It's like finding like the tungsten lining in the rainbow. I don't know.
Finding the dark cloud and the, on the sunny day.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It is 100% that. Like, I really don't think slow should hurt accuracy. I think if that was the only change they made to it, it would probably be fine.
Yeah, I
can just see that. Make slow not affect accuracy, be done with it. You know, I would probably bring down the Warlock super tracking. I personally think that Behemoth Titan could still stand to have a little bit less duration. The duration is still, it's not extreme like it was before. I think it could use just maybe a touch less. And I wouldn't mind if the Shurikens dealt a little bit more damage for the Hunter. But overall, number one, I'm seeing a ton more light subclasses in Crucible, which is great. I'm not seeing nearly as much stasis dominance. Number two, I think that the plan is to kind of bring some of the light subclasses up a bit. So I feel like they've kind of established a new line for where they want to be, and they're pretty close to it on stasis, maybe a little on the high side on stasis. But it's no longer like a mile long gap between the stasis subclasses and the light subclasses.
Yeah.
It's, you know, to the point where I think the higher end light subclasses are now on par with stasis, or maybe just a touch under it, as opposed to before, even the higher end light subclasses were still a little bit under, you know, noticeably under stasis. So I'm really happy with that. I think they did a fantastic job. And then something that came out of nowhere was just literally out of nowhere. They just flipped lobby balancing in Iron Banner. Maybe familiar to listeners of this podcast, because I suggested it. I actually looked up the episode. I think it was episode 127 back in 2019, called the matchmaking episode. And it was what I referred to as 39 balancing, because you rank every player from 1 to 12, and then you try to make each team as close to the sum of those player ranks as 39 is what you're trying to do. It's the way COD used to do it. Bungie referred to it as schoolyard picking or snake drafting, right? And basically what it is player 1 goes on team A, players 2 and 3 go on team B, players 4 and 5 go on team A, players 6 and 7 go on team B. And it ends up splitting it not by an average MMR, which is what Bungie was doing before, which was causing a problem because their MMR ceiling was too high. So a really good player has an MMR of 400, and you know it puts them with five players of an MMR of 100 against six players of an MMR of 200, right? And so you have six average players on one team, one very good player, and five terrible players on the other team. And it makes for a really bad experience. Basically, the team that has the good player and terrible players has a terrible experience no matter what. Yeah. Right? Like, one team always has a really awful experience. So they split it up to try to make it a little bit more even. Over my first couple of games, I was kind of thinking maybe this would serve to prevent mercies. But as I played more, I realized that that's really not what it's trying to do. It's not necessarily trying to prevent mercies in that way. It's more so trying to make it so that outside of the best person and the worst person, every person in the game has someone better than them and someone worse than them on the other team. It's trying to even the experience of the players out. You may still end up getting mercied, but on the other team, there will at least always be someone better than you and someone worse than you. Whereas with, you know, the other type of lobby balancing, it was conceivable that five players on one team had no one worse than them in the game that they were playing against. All six players on the other team were better than five out of the six players on one team.
Yeah.
Right. And that was a really, really bad experience for the players who got stuck on that team where everybody they were playing against. And that's why you'd see scores where it would be like one person would have 40 kills and then five players would have less than five kills and like 0.1 KDs. Right. And that's just a terrible experience. So I did notice a significantly lower occurrences of that. It still happened every once in a while. But I mean, I ended up playing about 30 games of freelance IB over this weekend. And it was significant in freelance IB prior to this. I actually started avoiding freelance IB because it would be every game, every single game. I would be at the top of the scorecard. My entire team would be negative, and it was just a really bad experience. So I actually started not playing freelance and I was playing normal IB with fire teams because I found it to be a better experience. And with this, I think freelance is fantastic. I think it's in a great place. People are like, oh, I'm still getting mercied a bunch. And I was like, yeah, but I don't actually think that that's what the point of this lobby balancing necessarily was, right? I think the point of the lobby balancing was to improve the experiences of individual players, but you still may just play a team that's just way better than you guys. And mercies happen really quickly in Iron Banner because of the triple cap mechanic. So I have very much been a fan of this new style of balancing, like I thought I would be when I suggested it. I really hope they push it into normal control and even things like comp, because comp has the same issues where I'll be a 2.0 and two other players will be negative and we lose like every single game.
Yeah, I think that there's no question that this is a much more fair way to balance the lobbies than the MMR system that they were using. So I think there's no question that this is a much more fair way to balance the lobbies than the MMR system that they were using. In essentially just because of the way that it's set up, like you said. So that each person has at least a shot at having someone on the other team that they can beat, right? And there's, you know, unfortunately, you know, there's always going to be somebody who maybe has a bad experience in that match. And some of that ultimately comes down to, you know, the player's perspective and then why they're playing PvP. You know, you can't entirely blame Bungie for your personal experience and the way that you respond to what happens in the game. Now, if it's a consistently unpleasant experience for a lot of people, then that is a problem that they have to address. But, you know, I think this system does that. I think it gives everyone at least a fair shot at a fair match. I don't have any ideas for how you would do it better, right? Like, there's only so much you can do in a massive game like this, trying to match people fairly. And I think this, of all the ideas and the suggestions that I've seen, this is the most fair way to balance the lobby. And I think that's bearing out. You know, like you said, it's not going to prevent a mercy. Sometimes a team just gels, and sometimes a team just doesn't gel. And when you're playing with, you know, randoms, that's just the way it is. And if you can't accept that, then a little bit on you. You just kind of have to move on and put that match behind you and you know, maybe back out and get back in.
Yeah, and a lot of what I'm seeing is that there are players out there who got very used to being the slightly above average or average player on the team of all other average players going against five bad players and one good player. I see that there are, that was not really ever my experience because of the place I fall into in the skill of PvP and the way things work out. Like, I was almost never on the team of good players. I was almost always the one getting all the bad players on my team and then going 4.0 while everyone else went negative. I think a lot of players in the center of the bell curve got used to being on the team with a bunch of people close to their skill against one very good player and five very bad players. And so they got used to that. And now that it's changed where things are split a bit more evenly, they're not, you know, they're not quite used to that. And they're complaining that, oh, it seems less even to me. All of a sudden there are more better players than the other team. It's like, well, yeah, that's what happens. Like that's what happens. Now there are going to be players, a couple players better and a couple players worse than you on the team. And your team is going to have a couple players better and a couple players worse than you. The only place this type of balancing breaks down is in fire teams of greater than three that are all very high skill, because then it doesn't have a chance to actually do any lobby balancing at all. It's just six players of high skill, you know. So it kind of breaks down there, and I think that's why they disabled it in normal Iron Banner. However, at the same point in time, normal lobby balancing didn't work for that either. So it's really like there's no difference. So I guess what I'm coming to is my conclusion is that it is absolutely no worse than the previous form of lobby balancing that we had. And in many aspects, I think it's significantly better. And at least my gameplay experience bore that out this weekend. Again, we always try to qualify where our viewpoints are coming from. I'm coming from the viewpoint of I was the good player on the team with five bad players having to carry and losing. And you know me, I don't really give a shit about winning or losing in Iron Banner or in Control, right? But at the same point in time, I know that it's not fun for the five players underneath me who are getting their, you know, they're getting their faces smashed in by a team of players. Like, I know that's not a fun experience for them. And honest to God, I would actually be okay with getting less kills in a match because my teammates are better. And us actually establishing some form of map control that's not me literally just like stand, like planting a flag and being like, I'm going to defend this the entire match. Because that's pretty much what it is right now. Like when I go into one of these matches, like I had a match on Anomaly before they changed it in Iron Banner. And it was literally like, I basically found a spot and I was like, all right, I'm holding down this spot because my team is literally just running out and getting slaughtered like lambs. They're not doing anything at all. We're not going to capture any points. And I'm literally just going to hold the spot and defend the spot until we get mercied. And I ended up having like 28 kills and like four deaths, right? No one else on my team is positive and we get mercied because we couldn't even take any form of map control at all. And it's like that, you know, statistically, yeah, great match for me. Not a great experience for five out of the six players on my team. And honestly, personally, I would much rather have gone, you know, I would much rather have gone like 20-4 instead of 28-4 and had us actually be able to get some semblance of map control and play a real game than I would have statistically had the better game. So that is what happened. Like it brought down my kill volume, came down because my teammates were more competent. And so their kill numbers went up, my kill numbers came down. But in terms of what we were able to do as a team, it just seemed better. So I'm sure that there are some other players out there who have different opinions. And I'm sure there are some people who just hate change no matter what change is, and they're not going to like it. But at least from my perspective, I think that this is a big win.
Yeah. I mean, I think you really illustrated, the problem that this was aimed at solving. And I do think it's working. And it is, you know, anytime there's a change someone's experience, there's going to be some discord, mentally for the person that maybe is now having a slightly or could be perceived to be having a worse experience. Maybe this is getting too deep just being about Destiny, right? But you always have to take into account, you know, is my good experience coming at the expense of someone else's worse experience? And I think in this case, you know, for many players, unfortunately, that is the case, right? They were getting a better experience in PvP at the expense of someone else. And so now I think it's going to be a little more even in terms of opportunities for those good experiences. And unfortunately, if that means, you know, if you're listening right now and you feel like your experience in the Crucible has gotten worse, that there are more good players on the other team, what that should, you know, cue you into is that you were in that middle of the bell curve, right? That's where you fall in the skill rank. You're roughly average, and so you weren't necessarily getting hurt by the system before. And so this sort of perceived loss isn't really a true loss. For you, you were getting something that other people weren't.
Provides you with a more honest representation of skill than the previous system did, which, you know, Bungie could solve all these issues by publishing MMR and making it, you know. I mean, I saw this the other day on Twitter, and I'm not going to use this person's name, but they had just posted about how they had gotten to Legend for the second time solo, right? And they put out a picture of their Legend game. They had just gotten to 5,500, right? And at 5,500, the players they played against in their final match had negative KDs in Glory playlist and slightly over a 1 KD in Valor playlist. So at 5,500, they were playing pretty terrible players, right? Meanwhile, myself, I'm at like 1,900 because I hate comp. I look up the people I'm playing against, 1.8 KD, 2.2 KD, you know, like worst players like 1.4s, 1.5s, which is still like top 20%. And I'm at like 1,900. This is why the current Glory system bothers me so badly. And this is why I say that getting to Unbroken and getting to Legend is now more about the time you're willing to invest and less about how good you actually are. The fact that somebody else can be playing at 5,500 Glory and playing people with a negative KD, and I'm playing at 1,900 Glory and playing people with 2.0 KDs, is entirely backwards to me, right?
Yeah.
And it's part of the reason why I don't want skill-based matchmaking at all in normal Crucible, unless you're going to pair it with a well-made ranking system that actually accurately reflects your skill. Right. If you're not going to do that, honestly, I don't even care if you put skill-based matchmaking into Iron Banner entirely, as long as there is a real ranking system that goes along with it. People always think, oh, you just want to farm kills in a lobby, blah, 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 blah. And we've had this discussion before. That's not the case. If I'm going to have to struggle every single game that I play, then I want to at least be able to see, yeah, I'm struggling, but it's because I'm playing the top 10% of players every single game. And similarly, if you're not going to struggle, because skill-based matchmaking is protecting you from good players, you need to understand the reason why you're not struggling is because you're playing the bottom, you know, 10% of players. It's because you're playing people, and some people want it both ways. They don't want to be forced to play against good players, so they want skill-based matchmaking, but they also don't want to be told that they're not very good at the game, so they don't want a ranking system. And I just feel like that's not fair. I feel like if you want skill-based matchmaking, then a ranking system is a requirement that goes along with it. If you don't want a ranking system, then you shouldn't get skill-based matchmaking, right? Because we don't have a ranking system in Control or Iron Banner, I think skill-based matchmaking has very little part in that, outside of just keeping the best and the worst players away from each other. If you put a ranking system into it, I'd be okay with skill-based matchmaking coming in, and that's what it comes down to. And lobby balancing, the way they're doing it now, the 39 style, I think is the best, without some implementation of skill-based matchmaking, I think it is the best way to ensure that a majority of players in the game have at least someone better than them and someone worse than them to play against, right?
Yeah, I think, I don't want to get off topic onto a skill-based, connection-based matchmaking debate again, because we've had that debate a million times. But just looking strictly at the lobby balancing changes, I think in a connection-based system, lobby balancing is so important to get right. And so I'm really hopeful that this is their first step toward getting that right, and that it's something that we see rolled out to the rest of the PvP playlists that are using connection primarily to match. Because it will make for a more fair experience for all players.
And what I don't want to see is people who just hate change complaining to Bungie, you changed the matchmaking, my experience is worse. Like, I know that Bungie is going to look at a lot of user feedback, but I hope that statistically they will be able to break down how the freelance playlist worked this IB compared to previous IBs. And I hope that there will be statistical significance to the change that shows that, hey, this is a good thing. Let's adopt this across more playlists. Because, you know, the mixed bag of what I'm seeing is basically good players like this change. Bad players, like pretty bad players, also probably like the change. And then middle of the bell curve is kind of hit or miss on whether or not they enjoy it. But, you know, we'll see. I'm hoping that in the back end, when they go over the data, they're going to see that this made a noticeable difference in retention for super low skill players or something like that. Right. So anyways, That was a lot of conversation about lobby balancing, but I'm very, very passionate about that. And I legitimately have been asking, you know, if you guys can go back, if one of you guys wants to take the time to go back and find the timestamp for me where I mentioned that this is the type of lobby balancing that we needed, I would love to post that on Twitter and just be like, you know, only took 2 years, but we finally got to this style of lobby balancing, which, by the way, I did not invent. This is what Call of Duty did for years and years and years, where they split teams that way. So, you know, it's not like I can take credit for it, but it's a much better style of balancing than the previous. But we do have two weapons to break down.
We do.
We got the Keening, which is an adaptive sidearm. We're going to go over that one first. And then we've got the gun that people actually care about, which we're going to say for last, which is the Frozen Orbit, which is the sniper rifle. So the Keening, again, an adaptive sidearm. The optimal TTK is 0.6 seconds. That's with 4 crits. The body shot TTK is 1.0 seconds with 6 body shots. The realistic TTK is 0.8 seconds with 1 crit and 4 body shots. Super, super easy to hit that. That's what a majority of people are going to be hitting. Now, the biggest issue with this gun is that it does kind of compete with Drang as far as it's an adaptive sidearm in the same slot, in the energy slot. And that means that for the most part, it's going to be losing because it doesn't have the bonus zoom that Drang does. Which means it doesn't have the range that Drang does, which means it doesn't have the strength that Drang does. It has a very standard zoom of 1.2. When you go over stats for this gun, you know, it's got average base range at 44. Obviously, Drang has 48. And, you know, I think the lowest one out there right now would be like Translation Theory from the Dreaming City has like 37 or something. The stability, again, is pretty average, 65. Actually kind of on the lower end, but there's not a huge window. You know, Drang has the highest at 70, which isn't a ton. The reload speed is kind of poor at 32, but it's a sidearm. All sidearms reload fast, so that's not really that big of a deal. The handling is average at 55. Drang's is much faster, around the 70s. The aim assist is quite good. The aim assist is 83. That's one place where it is a little bit better than Drang. And the recoil direction as well is 99, which means it's basically just straight up. And then the magazine size is 15, which is totally typical. So there's nothing really outstanding about it in terms of the stats, except for the aim assist and recoil direction. Does make it a very good feeling gun, even if it doesn't quite have the range that Drang does. But, you know, I haven't seen a ton of them in PvP. I got a couple of good rolls myself. I gave him a shot, and I pretty quickly was just like, I'm not the biggest fan of the Keening.
Yeah, I don't. Part of the problem, you know, and I think I've said this before, for me with a weapon like this, is that if it's not going to be a standout in the stats, then it really needs to be a standout in the perks. And not only does this gun not, for me, have any really exceptional perk combinations available, but it has so many perks that even if it did, I just wouldn't feel like it was worth my time to try and farm it. You know, and it's that's always an equation that you have to calculate. Like, you know, how much time do I have to chase this gun? How likely am I to get something good? And it's going to be a little different calculation for everybody. But for me, I tend to be really like, you know, is it feasible if I spend 5 hours chasing this gun that I'm going to get a good roll out of it? And if the answer is no, then I'm, you know, like, I'll take whatever I happen to randomly get while I'm doing other stuff, but I'm just not going to make it a priority. And so for me, I look at the Keening and I say, no, I'm not going to get anything exceptional, even if I put the time in, and my odds of getting anything passable are just very low, which is, you know, I feel like it's always a bummer when they put the time and the effort into adding a gun to the pool, and then it's like that weapon's just not worth the time they spent to make it. Much less my time as a player. But unfortunately, I guess, you know, there's always going to be hit or miss on those kind of things.
Yeah, the caning is the gun that people get when they're trying to farm Frozen Orbit and they're disappointed in it. But yeah, if we do go over the stats, barrel perks wise, I think it's pretty simple. There's only really a couple offerings that I'm really about. Hammerforged rifling, polygonal rifling, small bore. I either want to get a decent amount of range, a decent amount of stability, or a little bit of both. You don't need chamber compensator, you don't need extended barrel, you don't need arrowhead break, because those are all recoil direction ones. Fluted barrel is okay if you're like, hey, I just want a little bit more handling on these things. But again, it's a sidearm. Even with the kind of just average handling stat, the handling on these is still very fast to begin with.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I know how they're supposed to be used, which is like you swap over from a longer range primary at close range. But the thing is like shotguns just do that so much better that I've never really felt like, you know, I've never really felt like specking into stability was something I wanted to do on these. I'll always much rather take ranger, or specking into handling was something I wanted to do. I'll always much rather take ranger stability over it. In the mag slot, ricochet rounds, obviously always best case for PvP. So I'm always going to take ricochet rounds. And then, yeah, you're right. In the two perk slots, it's just like, good Lord, another one of these guns with 12 perks in each slot and so much trash. Yeah. So much trash. And those, I mean,
it's not even worth naming them all, because it's just like, why do I want this?
Yeah, I mean, you've got Grave Robber, you've got Pulse Monitor, you know, you've got Hipfire Grip, which Hipfire Grip is actually fine on sidearms, but they have such good hipfire accuracy anyways that I still just am like, I find myself really not wanting to waste a slot. Threat Detector is trash. You know, if we're talking about stuff that's actually good, Rapid Hit, but again, because of the actual, you know, we have the optimal, we have the body shot, and then we have right in the middle that shade of gray that is the realistic, right? The realistic is one crit, four bodies. Like, you're just not really going to be going for crits that much when you're spamming these shots as fast as you can, so Rapid Hit's going to be a limited use. You got Moving Target, which is helpful, Subsistence, which is relatively helpful, Slide Ways and Slide Shot, Killing Wind, Under Pressure's okay. I mean, if it's me, I'm probably going to be going with, I mean, I'll probably go with Moving Target just because it's already got a ton of aim assist. I'd love to give it a little bit more. I find as a controller player, more aim assist is almost always a good thing. So I'd probably go with Moving Target. I do like Subsistence, and I do like Killing Wind, but I feel like Moving Target just has more utility in 1v1 engagements than either of the other ones. I think Killing Wind and Subsistence are maybe better for 6v6 playlists, but God help you if you're using this thing in a 6v6 playlist and you're a bolder man than I, so.
Yeah, I think I have to pretty much agree. There's no real standout perks here that I'm like, yeah, I need that. So it's pretty much like, well, Moving Target's going to be helpful all the time. No matter.
And Slide Shot too. And if you're okay with it, if that's your thing. But, you know, Slide Shot kind of limits you because, like, sidearms have good in-air accuracy too.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you use Slide Shot, you got to, like, slide into a jump to, like, really get the best of both worlds. And it only lasts for 2 seconds, so it's pretty quick.
I would take Hipfire over Slide Shot personally, because I feel like Hipfire works really well. I tend to Hipfire with sidearms when I'm in the air. And so I think that, for me, would be the better play, right? I'd probably go Moving Target, Hipfire in order of preference. Because that's just how I play. I love to take advantage of that accuracy. I play every sidearm like it's the last word.
Yeah. And with Hipfire, you can do that, especially if you know slap a Hipfire mod on it as well. You might actually end up with better Hipfire accuracy than you have ADS accuracy.
So. Yeah. Yeah, entirely possible. So I think that's the direction I would take this.
Yeah, and then the second perk slot is actually arguably even worse than the first.
I think it is. Not even arguable. You
know, it's for me, it's just like multi-kill clip. Like, that's really the only one that I actually even care about. You've got High Impact, Dragonfly, Zen Moment, none of which are great for PvP. Snapshot, Surrounded, Sympathetic Arsenal, Unrelenting, not great for PvP. One for All, Thresh, not great for PvP. Wellspring, which is just okay, and then you've got Vorpal Weapon. So for me, it's going to have to be multi-kill clip and then Vorpal Weapon, and at least I can maybe melt a super or something with a sidearm, but dear God, is that a risky proposition.
You better hope you've got some team shooting going on there if you're going to try to get away with that. Or just be absolutely a god at your movement abilities and evading. Otherwise, yeah, it's pretty much multi-kill clip. None of these other perks are really worth your time in the Crucible. But just to flip it for a moment, PvE-wise, how do you feel about this class of sidearm?
I can honestly say that I don't ever use sidearms in PvE. I'm trying to think what loadout I would use. I use SMGs a decent amount. Also, do we have a sidearm like champion perk for champion mod for this season?
I don't believe we do.
Yeah, so I mean that would probably be why. I mean, right now this season my PvE loadout is mostly bows, SMGs, and scouts, because we have champion mods for that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe next season, if we get a champion mod for a sidearm, I'll be more inclined to use it. But honestly, like, this isn't even my favorite type of sidearm anyways, even with Drang. I actually still prefer the Omalon adaptives, like Last Hope, Last Dance. That's actually, if I'm using a sidearm, it's that sidearm over any other sidearm in the game.
I do have to say, those sidearms, because of the triple burst, hit really hard in PvE, which definitely feels better. I've used sidearms occasionally, usually when there's a mod or a bounty or something that pushes me to, and for the most part, it definitely feels like I'm plinking away and just dumping mags into enemies rather than really effectively slaying. So yeah, it would have to be something motivated by a mod or a bounty for me. But subsistence is a great perk to pick up in that first column if you want to be able to take this kind of anywhere. If you just really love this class of sidearm and you don't want to use Drang for some reason, then I think subsistence is a strong choice for PvE. And damage-wise, surrounded on a sidearm is really good in PvE. So you get a damage bonus when three or more enemies are in close proximity. So if you're going to use this for your ad clear and maybe breaking some shields, very, very easy to proc that, and you're going to pick up a 30% damage buff, which actually makes it hit, you know, reasonably hard. That said, multi-kill clip, still probably the better option for ad clear. It does have a few other damage bonuses out there, though. You know, one for all is easy to proc with a weapon like this that shoots really rapidly. Doesn't have a terrible magazine size. Thresh, of course, you know, does work in PvE, but I don't know that it would be the optimal choice here, because it's hard to rapidly take down a big group unless you have a damage buff. And unfortunately, Thresh is in the same slot as all of the damage buffs. So that's a tough proposition. And then Vorpal, I don't think, makes a lot of sense on this gun in PvE. So the only place I would want that is in the Crucible. So I think ultimately, for me, it's probably multi-kill clip is the best choice in PvE. And then subsistence, unfortunately, does not pair with multi-kill clip very well. So I don't know what I would do with it. I don't think I would use it.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, it's honestly, I think... Yeah, it is a gun. That is the best thing that can be said about it, is it does in fact exist.
Yeah. There are more guns that you can get. Bigger loot pool. That's yep. What we got
now,
out of this one.
The one that people actually do care about is the Frozen Orbit, which is the sniper, which is seeing a lot of people chasing it. It is an aggressive sniper, does have 50 zoom. You know, it's got a really nice sight picture. It's got what appears to be like a variant of the short gaze scope, from Destiny 1. So nice, real open sight picture. Statistically, it's, you know, it's an aggressive sniper, right? So what that means is that they have great range, and pretty much terrible everything else. You know, 75 range for comparison, Revoker was 80. You know, Bite of the Fox is 73. Stability is 34, but you don't really use stability on those guns. Reload speed is 37. Handling is 28, which is on the lower end of an already low set of handling thing. Inventory size is 45. Aim assist is 48. Again, not a huge range. Bite of the Fox is 41. You know, Dread Adventure from Gambit, the old one, is 49. Magazine size is 3. Low zoom is 50. You know, the Revoker was 35, but we don't do that here anymore. It's pretty much what they said about snipers with super, super low zoom. So statistically, nothing really stands out. However, perk-wise, it has some really awesome combinations that you can go with, which are basically keeping people interested in this gun. So for the barrel slots, I'm always trying to get more handling, especially on these aggressives. I'm trying to get more handling, just in case I don't get the perks that I want, or I only get, you know, half of the perks that I want, in the two trait slots. And plus at a certain point in time, you know, handling, it just does more than anything else, any of the other stats do on these guns. The range is already ridiculously high. You're almost never going to be outside of the range of one of these snipers, especially with the zoom that they have. Stability really doesn't do anything. And there's, you know, recoil direction doesn't do anything. So you might as well just get handling, right? Like, it's never going to upset you to get handling. So what I like to do there is either Arrowhead Break or Fluted Barrel are pretty much the ones that I go with. If I don't get that, then range is the second thing that I prioritize. So, you know, hammer forged rifling or something like that. Definitely don't do anything that cuts into your handling at all. You know, for the magazine perks, I'm not super strong on any of the magazine perks. I suppose tactical mag and accurized rounds would be my two preferences for PvP. For PvE, something like extended mag or flared magwell is going to be your better bet. Steady rounds is not really worth it. Extended mag isn't tremendously worth it compared to a pendant mag, considering they give you both the same bonus, and extended mag crushes your reload speed.
I was going to say, pendant mag is, I think, probably the way to go option for PvE. There.
Yeah, I think so as well. And then in the trait slots, you know, you've got some good options in the trait slots. My personal favorite is going to be moving target for PvP. Killing Wind is also a pretty decent perk. And Firmly Planted is okay for those of us who like to slide snipe. I'm not big into slide sniping. I'm more of a passive sniper. So moving target is going to be it for me all day long. But, you know, maybe you're on mouse and keyboard or something like that. You don't really care about aim assist. Firmly Planted is pretty fantastic. Unfortunately, you've got some good perks there, but there's just a lot of trash. In this slot. So you're going to have to weed through some shit to get to the good stuff, pretty much.
It's definitely true. But I think this gun, you know, does bear mention that it has some solid PvE perks as well. You've got triple tap as an option, which is always a winner. You've also got auto-loading holster, which is super handy. Genesis can be handy in the right scenario. Clown cartridge, you know, it's not terrible. So I think it's got a lot, or Ambitious Assassin, even if you're ad clearing with it, which maybe isn't what I would use a sniper for, but I'm not you. And it is, you know, it is an energy sniper, so it is great for breaking shields. So I think it's really got a lot of good, solid perks in there. If you're open to getting a sniper, you know, for either PvE or PvP.
Yeah, I will say that clicking around on D2 Gunsmith, I do see the utility of extended mag compared with triple tap, or paired with triple tap and a backup mag mod.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that will boost the magazine up to 5 base, which then when you pair it with triple tap will allow you to shoot 7 shots in one magazine.
Yeah. And just, you know, always take into account math-wise, like, you could have a boss spec, but it would be better on a gun like this, if you're planning to use it for DPS, to have a full nether shot. Because that, you know, 7-8% damage buff on those shots that you have is going to be less total damage than a full extra shot is. So if you're not, you know, constrained on time, and if you're only trying to get out 6 or 7 shots, that should fit into any given time window. I think, yeah, if you can match appended mag and backup mag with triple tap, this gun's going to put out a pretty good amount of damage.
All right, and part of the reason why I like to go for fluted barrel or handling in the barrel slot is because in the last perk column, yes, you have snapshot, yes, you have quick draw, and I know most really high level players are going to go for those, but opening shot is also there. And it's been a while since we've talked about this, I think, but I cannot express how much I love opening shot on sniper rifles, especially when paired with moving target. I would 100% take a moving target opening shot fluted barrel frozen orbit over a quick draw moving target frozen orbit. I know, blasphemy, I know, I'm aware, but I just love opening shot so incredibly much. I think it makes the gun so, so sticky on that first shot that I'm 100% most interested in that perk.
And I think, too, for the average player, opening shot is going to be far more helpful than quick draw. And you're just going to have to try to do a better job of anticipating when you should have your sniper out rather than trying to quick scope, because quick scoping into a snipe is definitely not a beginning sniper skill or even an average sniper skill. That's something that you have to, I think, really work at to get really good at. I am a passable sniper, and I do not quick scope people. Not with any consistency anyway. Occasionally I'll pick one up. But it's usually because I already had the sniper out and I just happen to anticipate their movement and get a little bit lucky on that stickiness. So opening shot for me is a huge win in PvP. And there's you know, like you said, there's three perks kind of at the bottom of the list of options that are all really good for PvP. But I think if you're outside of that top skill quadrant, then I think opening shot is the way to go.
Yeah. And then for PvE, obviously Vorpal Weapon is pretty good. High Impact Reserves and terrible. You know, it's a decent little damage bonus. You know, you've also got Demolitionist, Thresh. Those are both good. Multi-kill clip, kill clip, Dragonfly. I mean, I don't know anyone who uses snipers for ad clearing really that much. So those are hard for me to recommend. But Demolitionist is great because it allows you to, you know, fire all your shots, throw a grenade, fire all your shots again, which can chain your DPS a little bit better.
Yeah.
I actually use Demolitionist on, I have a boss DPS grenade launcher, heavy grenade launcher that has Demolitionist on it. And I have like backup mag and extended mag. So I have like 7 shots in the magazine, shoot 7 shots, throw my grenades, shoot another 7 shots. It allows me to do a lot of burst DPS really quickly. And I like it on snipers too.
Yeah, I think that's probably the optimal play for putting out shots on this gun if you're trying to do boss damage. You know, you need appended mag or extended mag, triple tap, Demolitionist, and you can essentially fire 14, well, with backup mag in your mod slot, you can fire 14 shots without reloading. You know, you're only pausing once in the middle to throw a grenade, which is still faster than your reload animation. But otherwise, yeah, Vorpal Weapon is a great option. Box Breathing is a pretty significant damage bonus. It does slow down your rate of fire a little bit. You've got Kill Clip and Multi-Kill Clip in there as well, which would pair well with Outlaw. So if you don't need the extra aim assist and you don't get Quick Draw or you don't want Quick Draw, trying to pick up a Reload perk and Kill Clip, I think, is a great backup option.
Yeah, and you can body people in PvP if you have kill clip or multi-kill clip active, you can kill them. But it's like, I mean, I tried. I had an aggressive sniper that had kill clip on it, and like I really went hard for the get a kill, reload. But the problem is it comes at the intersection of like you have to have the ammo, which means you pretty much have to be running double scavengers and have already picked up a couple bricks.
Yeah.
Then you have to kill someone, and then you have to reload with the ammo that you have from picking up double bricks. Then you have to find another person in like the 3 seconds it takes for it to. And then you can body shot them. It's like, I'd much rather just stand in an empowering rift and body shot people than I would go through that whole process.
It is definitely not an optimal strategy right now in PvP with the way the ammo economy works. Yeah, so there's, I mean, that this gun just has a ton of great perk options that work well for multiple playstyles, which is exactly the opposite of the Keening in every way.
Yeah. And, you know, it's an aggressive sniper, so people like it. It's got all the perks you want for PvP. It's got all the perks you want for PvE. I mean, it's a good gun. I don't know that there's a ton more to say about it. I myself have gotten a couple of good rolls that I'm holding on to in case I want to start sniping again anytime soon. Although, you know, right now I do have, I am actually running Messenger Sidearm in PvP right now. I got a Messenger that has moving target kill clip, and I got an Adaptive Burst Sidearm that has moving target kill clip. And so I am running those two together. It's actually netted me hate mail, which I'm interested in. But yeah, so something pulled me away from DMT for just a little bit, but I'll soon be back. I used DMT to get flawless this past weekend, and it was pretty fun. So
I thought you were gonna say use DMT to get hate mail this weekend, but
I did that too. I actually did that too. Yeah, I got two pieces of hate mail using DMT and Iron Banner. Swapped over to Messenger after I got flawless, got into Depth Messenger, swapped over to Messenger Sidearm, and then got hate mail with that too. So maybe it's not my loadout, although both times they singled out the loadout that I was using, as opposed to just hating on me personally. So,
well, given that it's multiple loadouts, I think the clear common denominator is other people.
Yeah.
Never take responsibility.
All right, guys, that is it for this. Yeah, that is it for this episode. Thank you for tuning in to episode 204. We will be back later on in this same week. We're going to be breaking down the Vanguard weapons for you. And maybe if there's any cool news in the 12, we'll be talking about that as well. So we'll see you guys on Friday. Bye.
Peace.